Hello, and welcome to this podcast brought to you by MyChargeback, the global leader in resolving complex card-not-present transaction disputes. I'm Ruben Elias, Director of Media Relations at MyChargeback, and we're speaking today with Judith Diane Person, our Vice President for European Operations and Business Development Director. Judith, welcome. Let's first introduce you. Tell our audience a bit about your background and what you've been doing in your professional career.
Thank you, Ruben. And I'm happy to be here. So my background is that during the last, 15 years, I have worked with disputes and chargebacks, fraud in that area. The first many, many years was in one of the biggest banks in Scandinavia, where I was heading the fraud and dispute team. So that was both the strategy, how to fight against this fraud, but also how to deal with the amount of disputes and chargebacks that are coming in. So that has been the majority of the 15 years. Besides that, I've spent the last 4 years with one of the larger processing companies here in Scandinavia, where I was responsible for product development of the dispute and fraud products that is sold to the banks to help them on the fight against fraud and disputes.
Okay, so you have a wealth of information about the subject, and we have a wealth of information on our website for cardholders about chargebacks. But of course, the work of processing a chargeback falls on the banks, which you know, of course, from your own experience. For the benefit of cardholders who are listening, let's first ask, why is dispute resolution a completely different experience for banks
than it is for cardholders?
Than it is for cardholders, exactly.
Yeah. Well, of course, there is a major emotional difference between the cardholder who is requesting that chargeback because they have been a victim of fraud or of dealing with a merchant that they can't settle a dispute with. So they have some anxiety about, do they lose that amount of money? Are they able to find somebody that can help them? So they have a lot of emotional that are involved in that chargeback for the cardholder's perspective, you could say. Banks, they, however, must remain unemotional. They are obligated to analyze and respond to each and every request to raise a dispute. So that decision is very, very much into how is the chargeback guidelines. Do we have or do the cardholder has a right or not to raise a dispute? How is the terms and condition with the merchants they have, the cardholder has made the purchase with or have the service with? Are they covered by the terms and conditions from that? So for that reason, there is a major difference of the cardholder and the bank. For bank, it's a workload that they need to deal with because they are issuing cards.
Right, which isn't to say that the bank customer isn't important to the issuing bank and the merchant isn't important to the acquiring bank. It's that the both banks have to deal with this from an unemotional point of view.
For sure. Dispute resolution is very complex, and the process requires a careful understanding to keep their losses. If you see it from a bank's perspective, they want to keep their losses at a minimum, but at the same time assist you as a customer to identify the various chargebacks options that are available. And it is a very, it can turn out to be a very balancing act for the banks to handle it.
Of course. And let's also mention here that not all disputes are complex. And in fact, most disputes turn out to be relatively easy, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think the majority of disputes would just result in a chargeback that is due to a fraud. So you can say chargeback can be categorized into two different categories. So fraud is the first one. That is when you see a transaction on your account and you just can't recognize it. You haven't done anything related to that transaction. Somebody has had access to your account. So that's fraud. It's rather simple. The other category is what we call service-related dispute. That's where you have, as a cardholder, interacted with a merchant to purchase or to buy an item or goods or service, but you didn't get what you have expected to receive. And you can't settle that dispute with the merchant, so you need to get help with that.
What percentage do you estimate of all disputes are fraud-related?
It differs a little bit from region to region, but around 75 to 80% of all disputes are related to fraud. But of course, and it's important here to say, there is an extra complexity into the fraud cases that I said was easy. There is, of course, also genuine cardholders that ends up to be the fraudsters that claims a false dispute that actually has done the transaction. So that's called friendly fraud. And it's important also for the banks to be able to detect that so they avoid giving back money to a cardholder that actually did the transaction.
So the remaining 20 to 25% of disputes are service related. That's important for our listeners to understand because most people who come to us at MyChargeback have service related, complex service related transactions to dispute. And these are really not very common, right?
No, that's right. I think the remaining 20 to 25% of chargeback cases that would deal with goods and service related disputes. And they are significantly more complex. They involve, as I said, a customer that has purchased goods or services, still is unable to resolve it. And that is, of course, that also differs in complexity, but some of them are really complex to solve.
And what exactly constitutes service-related disputes? What do they involve that makes them so complex?
First of all, service-related disputes, that involve goods that are not received, goods that are damaged when you receive it as a cardholder, goods that differs from their advertised descriptions. So you think you have bought something and you receive something that looks completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And then it could be something about the quality of the product. You think you have bought a good quality of the product and you receive something different. And that's just for goods. Then we can get into the service related. That is much more difficult because if you buy a service, and when I say a service, it could be a flight ticket. It's often travel and entertainment. So it could be a booking of a hotel room or something else, a vacation, a house for vacation, something else. And when you come, the flight is canceled or the house is not there and the address that you have been informed about or something else. So there are, in fact, hundreds of examples where the rules and regulation differs here.
Or the flight cannot take off because of some sort of coronavirus restriction. And, right?
Exactly.
And what are the differences between the credit card networks? They obviously have different procedures, different regulations, different standards for adjudicating complex service-related goods and service-related disputes, correct?
Yeah. That's right. And that's also a part of the complexity here because each card network has its own detailed rule book that governs these chargebacks for the numerous situations that may arise. Each chargeback rule is different and complex in its own way, and it's constantly evolving. So of course, some of these card networks has rules that looks similar to each other, but then they still differs in the amount of documentation that is needed or how you need to approach the merchant or something else. So as a bank, you need to know exactly how they differ to make it best possible for your cardholder.
It's like being fluent in several different languages and speaking them all at the same time.
Exactly.
How often do these rules change, by the way?
Yeah, and that's another part of the problem. I don't know whether you could say it's a problem, but a part of the complexity is also that Visa and MasterCard, they enact changes to their rules. So that needs you need to be updated on these changes. Of course, it's not that they create totally new rules twice a year, but there are some changes to the existing rules, and then they, of course, try to cover for situations that occur right now. Of course, right now, MasterCard and Visa has tried to make some guidelines for the coronavirus pandemic here, how to react in that. But it requires a deep understanding of the complexity involved within a dispute resolution and the chargeback sphere.
Let's ask what could be a sensitive question here. How, in your experience, how familiar are the dispute departments at banks with the rules in general and the changes that take place twice a year? How closely do they follow those changes and internalize those changes? And how well can they speak several different languages at the same time?
That, of course, differs a lot from bank to bank. And also the volumes that these banks are having within the dispute sphere. Because, of course, imagine to be one of the smaller banks that only have one or two employees dealing with disputes and chargebacks. Often these two employees also deals with a lot of other things than chargebacks, because the volume of disputes are so low, so it can't fill two full-time employees with that. So to expect that they would be updated on the rules is not going to happen, because they do not have that, you could say, volume scale that gives them that opportunity to be skilled within disputes. And then, of course, you can go into the larger banks in the Nordics here, where I have operated. It differs also a lot because it depends on the prioritization for the banks. But unfortunately, we find that too many of these dispute departments are poorly trained when it comes to understanding the complexity. Often they have the larger banks here in the Nordic often have service centers in some of the countries with a lower salary rate than in the Nordics, right? So they have service centers in Poland, Lithuania, some of the other East European countries. And the quality of these are not because they can't lift the quality in these countries. The difference is that in these countries, employees often only stay for up to 2 years, and then they are off for new jobs. So they don't get that skilled or knowledge from being around this area for plenty years. So it's difficult to keep up with the rules if you are a bank. So that's one thing. Another thing could also be that this is, as I started out saying, this is seen as a necessary evil for the banks to help clients with these kind of disputes and chargebacks. And for that reason, it's seen like a cost center. So the most, you could say, KPI that is in focus for these banks would be how to keep it to a minimum of losses, but also do it as efficient as possible. So that doesn't give a large room for training in that.
So what we can conclude here is that if you as a consumer, as a cardholder, have a complex dispute that deals with goods or services that requires a deep familiarity with the rules and regulations established by the card networks, you are at a disadvantage when you go to your bank.
Of course, some of the banks are better than others. But yes, I would say even for the best banks, you would be able to send two similar cases into them. And depending on who is picking up these cases in the bank, which people in the department, you could have two different results of it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that personally in speaking with clients, looking over their cases before I speak to them, you know, to gauge their feedback about our services. I've seen that many times where that one client has the same dispute with two different credit cards issued by the same bank, and it's the exact same dispute. I mean, although the paper, there has to be two sets of paperwork to present to the bank because they're two different credit cards. And one is approved rather One dispute is approved rather quickly, and the other dispute takes a lot more time and may be problematic with a bank. How does all of this affect the way that, you know, banks treat their customers or relate to their customers? It's clear that bank clients may have disappointments in dealing with their banks. Do the banks really understand how this affects their customer relations, the level of customer satisfaction?
Some banks does, but it's not the primary focus for the majority of the banks, I would say. If we go back to what I said before about the focus on cost and efficiency, I would say, as you also mentioned before, I have also had several examples where friends or relatives has contacted me because they have approached their banks and has been rejected with their case that actually were valid. So I have been involved and tried to talk with the banks, and then they raise it and figure out, oh, there is actually an option here. But you could say that the problem is that it's not because the bank don't want to have a high customer satisfaction, but they are constantly struggling with the influx of chargeback requests, and they were already swamped before the coronavirus. It's really difficult for them to forecast the volume of dispute that will land. It's difficult to forecast a bankruptcy, a pandemic, or something else that would change the volume in dispute. And so one thing is that how the customer focuses just with a normal volume, but often these departments also have a volume that is difficult for them to handle. And that would be with the customer focus, not with the highest prioritization, you could say. But of course, every banker understands that customer service is the real source of their bread and butter. But there are also often very bureaucratic restraints that cardholders do not and cannot see. And then, as I said, the dispute team is often organized within the operational department. So the cardholder has no idea about what kind of bank they have when it comes to disputes before they try to approach it, because this is not something that the cardholder would experience often, that they have a dispute. It might be something they have once in a lifetime, maybe twice, but it's not something that constantly are happening. So you don't know how your bank is able to help you before you stand in the situation.
Of course. So given the fact that the banks are overwhelmed with chargebacks, they were overwhelmed before the coronavirus came along and made it even more acute. What can cardholders do to help out? I'm sure that by and large, most cardholders don't want to waste their time trying to raise a dispute that doesn't meet the criteria established by the credit card network. So what can you advise them? How can they know from the start that a case has a chance?
For a cardholder, it's impossible to know if you have a chance or not by yourself. So it's very difficult to investigate it by yourself. So if you are in doubt whether you have a valid chargeback, you should file it to your bank because it is your right. And if it's clearly fraud, then I think you have 100% right to a chargeback and a refund, unless, of course, you have done something that has enabled that fraud. So if I give you my card and my PIN code and you use it, then of course there can be some discussions whether I have a valid dispute or not, right? In most of the examples, I would get a refund from my bank. But it's a whole other thing about service-related chargebacks. Every bank may look at it differently. Every bank may have different answers. A complicating factor is that the card networks has different rules and they get updated on a regular basis. So it is, as we have talked about, very difficult for banks to build up that knowledge to back up clients with difficult disputes because they require that these employees are so familiar with the rules and are trained to constantly know what they can do and not do. So I would say as a cardholder, claim it to your bank. And if you think this example should really be something that I should have. I could, as a cardholder, not have any chance of knowing that I would end up in that situation. With that rule of thumb, you should fight for it to see whether you have the opportunity to raise your charge back. But it's very difficult to come up with the cookie cutter guidance, right? Because from the bank's perspective, chargeback are not a money-making venture. They do it because they have to do it. So it's the price they have to pay to issue credit cards. So, but of course, they don't want customers to complain. And they also want to give a customer's experience that is satisfying, because all studies are also showing that customers that really are helped in these disputes and chargeback situations, they start these cases with a very high level of anxiety. They have no idea whether they will get the refund or not. And when they end up in situations where the bank actually helps them, they get so happy that they share that experience with family, friends, everybody that wants to hear about it. And that could create a strong and loyal ambassador for the bank's brand. So, and for that reason, it's so important for banks also to understand that you could actually do a lot for your customer experience by dealing correctly with your disputes and chargebacks. From a cardholder perspective, I would just, you need to take that dialogue with your bank and feel comfortable that they have good arguments if they reject your case.
Well, up until now, we've been talking about dealing with the bank from a cardholder's perspective, dealing with the bank dispute department from the cardholder's point of view. What can my chargeback do to make all of this easier for the bank?
Bank dispute departments, they are often very understaffed and overworked. But when they do it right, regardless of the outcome, it results in customers who are very satisfied, as we talked about just before. But smaller banks with up to 5 employees who handle disputes, they simply don't have the time to familiarize themselves with constant change. And that's where my chargeback can help. So if you have a dispute or a chargeback with your bank and you don't feel comfortable in the explanations that you get for your bank, why they reject or can't help you, but also just if you have a case where you feel the complexity is out of your bank's league, then I think we could step in, or I know we can step in, because we are an expert in these complex dispute handling. So we can step in and look at the case and review it and give you some advice about whether there are some options or whether we don't see that you have any options for chargebacks.
And of course, for the cardholder himself, what can we do for the cardholder?
No, but hopefully we would be able to secure that they would be refunded the amount that they are disputing against. So hopefully, and we often see that we help the cardholder to get the money back. And that's actually the main focus of a chargeback or a dispute. That is to solve that dispute with a merchant and end up in a situation where the cardholder gets his or her money back.
Okay, well, thank you, Judith. We'll leave it on that note then. This podcast has been brought to you by My Chargeback, the leader in credit card consumer advocacy. We bring our expertise in complex payment disputes to the consumer side.
Thank you, everyone.